Blessed are they that have not seen and have believed. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Yesterday, there was closed the octave of Easter. In the early church, and still sometimes today, the newly baptized, as of Holy Saturday, are given white robes at their baptism. And they are worn from that time all the way through till yesterday, as a sign that they are these new recruits of our Lord. And this octave of Easter that we have just completed is something of the PT for these new recruits. But today, since they have put aside their newly acquired robes, they are now put into the rank and file with others. And all, therefore, have the same treatment. All receive the same reward, and that is the exposition and absorption of the Catholic faith. And it ties into this gospel, because those souls believed, though they have not seen, as the apostles. Although they did see him, they believed already. And it brings us to the figure of St. Thomas the Apostle, sometimes called Doubting Thomas. Now we know him because of this lack of belief that he had. St. Thomas would not believe in the fact of the resurrection of Christ until he had satisfied the demands of what we call empirical evidence, scientific qualification that we set. And his standard was that he must be able to touch the bodily wounds of our Lord. That he would not believe until he can put his finger into the nail marks and his hand into the side. And it begs the question, well, why these wounds at all? Why did our Lord keep those five? If you want a better idea of the number of wounds that our Lord sustained in his passion, don't watch the film, The Passion of the Christ, as excellent as it is. But look at something of the eighth sacrament that our Lord has left us, his burial cloth that we call the Holy Shroud of Turin. Those marks that you see there, that's not bloodstain. That is burned marks. That is from the sheer power of the resurrection itself that burned those images onto that cloth. And see the number of wounds, if you can, and count them, if you can, that are displayed there. And yet all of them, with the exception of those five, were healed. And it begs the question, why? Why did our Lord keep those five if he healed all the others? And for our response, we go to another Thomas, St. Thomas Aquinas, who gives an answer to St. Thomas the Apostle. The first reason that St. Thomas gives for our Lord keeping these five wounds is they are an everlasting testimony of his victory. They are his trophies. Those among you who are hunters, when you have a noteworthy kill, you usually have that kill mounted and you hang it up to be displayed in your home as a testimony of how either good of a hunter you are or how lucky of a shot you are. But it is there to give testimony to the fact. All of those who have any athletic skill, you have your trophy with the little plastic man on top, either swinging a golf club or holding a baseball bat or dribbling a basketball, whatever it may be. It is there again to give testimony of your athletic prowess, to recall some instant involving your skill. So likewise our Lord keeps his wounds as a sign of his victory, the trophy that he wins for the generosity, his great love for us and for his Father. The second reason St. Thomas gives for those wounds, they are a proof that it is the same Jesus that suffered and died on Good Friday that is now resurrected. It is not, as an early heresy would have you believe, a different man that was switched with the man on the cross. That this was some other individual that simply looks like him. No, he keeps those wounds to say, it's the same. He is the same. The third reason, our Lord's five wounds are a constant and concrete intercession to the Eternal Father for us. St. Paul speaks of this in one of his epistles, how Christ is living evermore, making intercession for us. So now in heaven, Christ in his glorified body is showing his five wounds to his Father as a testimony of how much he loves his Father, that he's willing to do this for his glory to be restored, and how much he loves you, that he's willing to go to such lengths to buy back your soul, to ransom your soul. And the fourth reason St. Thomas Aquinas gives, these five wounds will be the means of condemning the reprobate at the last judgment. Because it will be shown for all to see what our Lord did for them, and yet that they continue to reject. And so the question then becomes, what are those five wounds for you? We are in this Paschal season now. You have here the Paschal candle symbolizing the bridegroom being with his bride these 40 days before his ascension. What is your reaction to these five wounds symbolized here? What do they carry for your soul? Our Lord keeps them to remind you that he is God, and that he has won that battle for your soul. It is no longer a question of, maybe I will make it, maybe I will not, because I'm the one who has to fight this fight. No, our Lord has fought that fight for you, in your place. They are a proof that it is the same Jesus who suffered and died for your sake. You are not just a face in the collected group of humanity, a face among the crowd. If you are the only person to ever exist in the history of the world, God would have done the same thing that he did for your soul. And that may sound like something pie in the sky. Prove me wrong. Prove me wrong. But we can be tempted to do just that, to want to prove God wrong. We may want to say, unless he tells me personally, I will not believe that he did this for me. It is the same Jesus who loves you now and is constantly interceding for your soul before his Father, showing those wounds for your soul. That despite all of your knowledge and all of the responsibility that flows from that knowledge, you are still being interceded for by him before his Father. And lastly, perhaps the most sobering, it is the same Jesus who will stand to condemn you for not acknowledging truly, fully, authentically his love. And how does that play out now? How does that translate into the everyday affair If there is no virtue of faith in the soul, no act of faith, no spirit of faith can be forthcoming. You cannot give what you don't have. And that is betrayed by our attitude that we want God to prove himself to us. We won't change. We won't adjust. We will not take a step back unless God comes to us personally and says, "Excuse me, perhaps if you have a few moments, I have something to say to you." We would have to tell him, therefore, "Until I can put my fingers into your wounds, I will not believe." But our Lord reproaches us with the same words he gives to St. Thomas in the Gospel. "Blessed are they who have not seen and yet believe." Do we really believe in the victory of our Lord? Do we really believe that he ransomed our souls from hell? That he has given the fruit of that victory to us? Do we really love him as the supreme benefactor that he is? So supreme that if he were not to keep you in existence for one instance, you would cease to exist. You wouldn't simply be a corpse on the floor. There would be nothing of you anymore. Not even memory of you. That is how supreme a benefactor God is to every one of us. We don't have to exist. We can be tempted to think that the world is privileged to have us in it. Do we really love him as that benefactor? Or do we cast him aside to pay the price of our contentment, our satisfaction? Is our ego more valuable than the blood of God? Is it more valuable than his infinite charity, the same charity that he wants to give to your neighbor? Or do we prefer to either let ourselves or that neighbor spiritually bleed out? Love demands sacrifice. The first sacrifice of the love you show to God is that sacrifice of self, denying yourself the right to be God. Just as any of you married men know, the sacrifice you made was to choose your wife in exclusion to all other possibilities. You wives, the same. You chose that man in exclusion to all others. You did not say, "I choose you, but I also will keep these four or five in the wings as a spare." So likewise, we cannot say to God, "I love you and I choose you, but I will also keep this or that satisfaction, this or that contentment, in case things don't work out between us." What point then is our Lord's wounds, if that's our attitude? Tradition tells us that Our Lady was the one who was privileged to first see our Lord in the early hours of Easter Sunday after his resurrection. And she was also there witnessing, we may say participating in, the sacrifice of Calvary, the first Mass being realized. And so she knows the cost that our Lord paid for our love. And for that matter, she knows the cost that she has paid for that love. Don't despise the love and sacrifice of your mother. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.